just going to read out the scripture to us this morning, and then at your table, this is printed out on a piece of paper. So everybody's welcome to help themselves to one, and you can mark it up as you see fit. There's going to be bits about the story that stand out to you, and so that's what we're doing now. Matthew chapter 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, this is what's written by the prophet." And they quote Micah, sort of. In the box on the piece of paper next to you is what Micah actually says, but here is what Matthew represents is what the priests and the scribes said. "And you, Bethlehem, the land of Judea, are by no means among the least of the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go, search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me, so that I may come also and worship the child," and worship him. After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy, and after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. This is the word of the Lord. That's what it says. Now, what we want to do is leave you at your table a little space to discuss what you read in that story. If you don't have something to discuss, there's actually questions at the bottom of the printed page, something to think about. But you have leeway as a group to discuss this for just a little bit, and then I'm going to ask you from your tables what you have to contribute to the whole room, okay? Just like we did last week. There you go. God, please guide us. Holy Spirit, help us to think your thoughts as we consider your word. Amen. Amen. What did you think? Did that feel like 15 minutes to you? It went fast. It went fast. So everybody here in the room is still talking, and you guys like each other, and it's all good, and chances are you've all observed something out of the scripture. So as much as everybody loves one another and wants to keep talking, can I ask you from your tables, somebody, just help with observations. What have you seen in the scripture? Did you pick one of these questions to talk about? Have you seen something? I'm looking for volunteers of people who would be willing to talk about what they've seen. Anybody have something they recognize from the scripture? Okay. Hello, miss. Welcome to Alva Baptist Church.
So we saw that Herod summoned the wise men secretly, and there was no goodness in his heart. You know, it wasn't that he was doing it out of love, but he wanted a bad end for Jesus. But the wise men were warned in a dream. So anything that is done in secret, you might think it's covered up, but God knows all things.
His secret's out, isn't it?
And has a perfect plan for each one of our lives. So just as he worked then, in the past, he's still the same God, so he still works the same with us today.
That's great. I like that. No, what secret will stand against God's plan, huh? How about another table? Anybody else? No, we're done? So we just go home?
How did the wise men know to worship this baby?
How did the wise men know to worship?
Presumably Gentiles. I can understand the shepherds saying they can imagine, but how did they, and did they know the significance of the three gifts?
Great, good questions. Why did they worship? What are the significance of the three gifts? Those are excellent observations. They're questions that you could, you know, there's a lot of material of opinions about, but there's not, how much do you actually get from the words on the page, right? So these wise men, they came from the east, right? Except for this thing. Israel, Judea, Galilee is the border town in the Roman Empire. So people coming from the east in are outside of Rome's governance. They are wise men. They've come to someone who was called King Herod to say, "Where is the king of the Jews?" And in history, this little Israeli town has been part of the Parthian Empire, part of the Roman Empire, part of this empire, Babylonian Empire, part of this Solomon kingdom, right? Back and forth, back and forth. Israel bounces between this and that. It's like talking about the Ukraine. It's like talking about Georgia. It's like talking about any place that if you think, where is Lebanon now? And what about Lebanon? Are they with Syria or are they with the West? Turkey, right? Same kind of ideas, back and forth, back and forth. These cats have come into town, go to the political leader, and they say, where's the real leader? Tough. And it says all Israel, all Jerusalem was upset with him. Yeah, good questions. Why do they worship if they're these? How come they know the religion better than the religious people whose lives and livelihood are about that subject? God brings someone from outside if you're not getting it inside. The truth will come out. It's profound stuff. Profound stuff. How about other tables are talking about different things? If you've got some points to make, it'll be helpful to everyone. Pauline?
There's several things that came up from different people. One was the fact that in Micah, all those years before Jesus was born, It was said that he would come from there. And in order for that to happen, they had to go for the census in Bethlehem. And God had worked all these things out. Mm. It was the fact that God organizes things in such a way, and we can take confidence from that, that he orders our lives and brings things in. And we found that amazing. And then we found the gold, frankincense, and myrrh were for a king and for a priest and for the death of the Savior with the myrrh.
Okay.
For the frankincense.
Super.
So much from this.
Well, God has brought them resources, hasn't he? Yeah. And he's brought them to the place where it was supposed to happen. Yeah.
God's provision too with the gold, because that was able to take them to out of the way.
Oh, I see. He filled their bank account so they could go on a trip. I like that. I like that. Not that I'm pushing for a prosperity doctrine in the midst of our church, but he did provide. He knew that they were going to need to go on a trip, didn't he? Did you notice the difference between the underlined things in the box and the thing that you were reading? And on the one hand, it says, you're not the least. And on the other hand, it says, you are the least. Just a completely opposite meaning from Micah to what the priests quote in Matthew. You know, now some people say Matthew, he's a bit rough and tumble with the scripture anyway, and he quotes Old Testament to make a point in the New Testament. But he doesn't often put his words in the mouths of other people. He represents in this gospel that the priests and scribes misquoted Micah. And it might give you a hint toward why everyone was expecting a big old leader who was going to come and clean house, saying, not the least of you, Judah, from you is going to come a ruler, right? Whereas Micah said, you are the least, and out of you is going to come, you know, the least among the clans, not least among the rulers. Anyway, it's maybe it's nothing, but they certainly weren't looking for Jesus to be a little guy from a little place of a know-nothing, no-count town. Imagine, the United Kingdom, our prime minister has come from Alva in Clackmannanshire, you know, and they're gonna help you dig out because of the great experience in legislation, you know, all that. So maybe someone here in the room is as possible as anyone to be used by God. Does anybody else at another table have another observation to kick in? Thank you for that, Pauline, for those. You guys got anything at your table? Were you talking about it? And too deep. Fred.
Yeah, just that, you see this story that God will see his prophecy come to fruition, no matter, you know, obstacles or evil intentions that, you know, Herod had. So Herod told the wise men to come back to him, you know, once they found a child. But then God, in his own wisdom, by the Holy Spirit, spoke in a dream to, you know, to the wise men, telling them, don't come back. So, yeah. So he's in control. Yeah.
Outstanding. God is in control. Exceptional circumstances, the birth of the Messiah, but astronomy, dreams, wisdom in response to information from God, better go home a different way. Yeah? Interesting things going on here. So here's a question, and young people are as apt to answer this one as anyone, right? Do you worship God in your life outside the church building on Sunday? These people came and worshiped, it says, in a house. So stepping aside from all the manger house challenging bits of scripture there, wondering why later on in the scripture Herod kills all the kids who are 2 years old and younger, there's something to that. How do you worship when you're not here on Sunday, or is that the only time you worship? I mean, Yeah,
please, you know, pick me. I want to explain. I only worship on Sunday. That's not going to happen, is it? The way I pose the question.
How do you worship outside of church? These guys are worshiping outside of church.
We were saying at our table that it's not, worship isn't just like prayer or singing, but it's the way you live your life. So, you know, extending love, helping people, just living your life should be an act of worship. So it's a thing that should be happening all the time.
Super, yeah. Yeah, it sounds like Romans chapter 12, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Does everybody agree with that? Is that good enough? Yeah, what she said? Anybody, not that you would be correcting what was just said, but adding to it another layer? Anybody drive around?
Well, God changes us as we commit to him and give him our hearts. He brings the change around, doesn't he? And sometimes we're not even aware of it, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we're all part of that one thing, you know, we're righteous because he says so.
There you go.
Not perfect, but we are righteous. And sometimes it's we're not really.
But... Excellent. Good points, all of them. Aren't they? At your tables, did anybody pray about anxiety and depression? Is that something that was a topic, or was that too close to the bone? And we maybe, we were talking about it, and I have personally experienced that in times when I got a scribble cloud over my head. If I was a cartoon, Calvin and Hobbes, and the panel was drawn, and Dave Fraser's like, nobody likes me, I'm going to go eat worms, you know. Well, you know what? Worship changes that picture. If what you believe about yourself is the circumstances that afflict you, worship adds to that picture. It doesn't make depression go away. Depression's a thing when enough stuff affects your body chemistry, and then your body chemistry affects the way you see stuff, and the way you see stuff affects, and you get caught in that thing. Nobody up at the front, certainly not me, is saying that it's all, you know, just a spoonful of sugar and a happy song is going to make that stop, right? But worship changes perspective, and adding the way that God sees it to the way that we see it, that can help, can't it? Yeah. Yeah. And it's like someone said, it's not all singing songs, you know. But if you mix a worship CD in with your collection that you're cycling through, I wonder if that would change your perspective on things. It's a possibility. Yeah. Well, we're getting, the clock is telling us to stop, I think. But you're welcome to take the paper home with you. There's other questions we haven't discussed or answered, and they're worth thinking about. There's more meat in there. And so if the mining is finding the facts off the words, I think you fashion the gold that you pull out of it into something lovely to behold and to think about and consider. Okay? So can I pray, and I'll just say, Lord, there's more to this than just that, and we commit ourselves to you to know you better through these words. And it's just a white piece of paper, and in a book, it's a Bible, and it was on the lips of your servants who spoke it for 30, 40 years before they wrote it down. and we hope, God, to know you by these words. Please help us to understand you. And will you lead us in prayer, and will you lead us in knowledge, and help us to know your word well enough so that we can find out the meaning of things happening in our lives today. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.